Well, good morning. My name is Bob Mentzer, and I greet everyone who's out there in TV land, and you all here today. I'm one of the teaching elders, and last week began a three-part message that's based on the third miracle that's recorded in the book of John, and it's the healing of the paraplegic in the pool of Bethesda. And as we looked at that account, there comes a place where Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man says, "Oh, I make an excuse. Nobody's there to take me in." And Jesus gives him three commands. The first thing he says to him is, "Arise." And then he says, "Take up your pallet, your bed." And then the third command he gives to him, he says, "And then walk." Three commands. And if we put on our spiritual eyes, we begin to see that these are not just for that man there who was paralyzed for 38 years, but they're for us. It's something that we can look at and say, yes, is God saying arise? And what's he saying to us? To take up and to walk. And last week I focused on the main point, which was, would you change that for me? There's a principle, spiritual principle that's spoken to us. That God says, I want you to see. He said, you know, when Jesus said, I speak, the words that I speak, they're spirit and truth. And sometimes we have to move beyond just seeing them as a literal answer, but to see them with spiritual eyes, to see them that when we sing that song, open my eyes that I might see, we're asking him to show us things that are spiritually important for us. Arise, his first commandment. Just a minute. My headdress is coming off. We are to God's command, arise. Or sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where you need to say to yourself, it's time to arise. Get up. Quit moaning. Quit belly aching. Oh, and we have this pity party. But when we look at this particular passage, there is always an action that is required when God says arise, or when we say to ourselves, arise. And a couple of examples that I gave last week was Abraham. Arise. And what was Abraham to do? Walk about the land through its length and breadth. And so when we begin to look at this spiritual principle, when he says to Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. What's Noah to do? Build. He's to build an ark. How about Moses? Moses, I'm going to free my people. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Pharaoh. And coming back to Abraham. Abraham, I am going to bring up out of your loins a Messiah. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave your country and leave your relatives. And Gideon, what did he say to Gideon? Gideon, I am going to free you from the Midianites. But what you need to do is you need to separate out just 300 men. And so there's always an action that we are required to take up. And one of the ones I used last week was Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I'm going to give you the word of the Lord, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the potter's house. And sometimes these things that God tells us to do, we say, okay, I don't know. We must get rid of this idea that we say, oh, let go and let God. You probably have heard that. But it's, yeah, let God. But he's always going to ask you to respond to his first request. And when he says arise, and then he's going to tell you to do something. St. Augustine has written this little blurb about that. He says, without God, we cannot. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. And so as we begin to look . This is one of the examples that I gave last week where it's important that we sometimes say that to ourselves. And this is the prodigal son. You're all familiar with that particular parable. But the son says, I will arise. And what am I going to do? I will go to my father. And how many times are we in those situations? Thank you. How many times are we in those situations where we look at our circumstances around us? And we forget to arise and go to our Father. And when we go, he has a response. He has something to tell us. He has something for us to do. So today, I'm going to go past Jonah. You remember that Jonah, God said, arise and go to Nineveh? Yeah. Arise and go to Nineveh. What did Jonah do? He went to Tarshish. He hopped on a boat. Well, that didn't turn out very good to him. And so we have this spiritual principle that continues to speak to us that we are to arise and take up. I like to say it just this way. Get up and take up. Get up and take up. And so today I'm going to focus on maybe we're going to skip Jonah. I'm going to go to take up. It's a command. But it's personal. See, he may tell me to take up something entirely different than he's going to tell you to take up something. And it depends on the circumstance and it depends on the situation. But it becomes extremely personal. Now, I'm going to give you today three... wait a minute, I've got this one. When he told the paralyzed man to take up his bed. I think I alluded to this last week. I wondered why. I mean, if I was that paralyzed man, that would be the last thing I would want to look at. This bed that I have been laying on for 38 years. But yet he told him to carry it with him. Take it with you. And I think about why he said that. And was it a declaration that I've been healed?
that he carried it with him? Or was it a declaration that he's been set free, free from the crippling that has held him there? Or was it a fact that he'd been forgiven? Or was it just a proclamation? I am free. I am healed. Well, what's God telling you to take up? What's he saying? Arise. Take up. Well, I'm going to today, it's for you to take up. And there are three paramount things that I think are evident in scriptures that we're all to take up. And then I'm going to get some personal stuff to head down. But the first one, and I'm reading this, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up your cross. Here's what else he says about that. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Sometimes we have to bear something that we don't want to bear. Sometimes we just have to take it up. And it's a sense of denying yourself. I used to call it the law of inconvenience. Generally, if it's inconvenient, God saying, take it up. Take it up. But I don't want to. Well, you have to die to yourself. That's how you live. You die to yourself. You know, there's a word that kind of describes all of that. It's called a narcissist. And a number of years ago, I was counseling with a guy. And he came to me, and one of the first things he said was, I'm a narcissist. Now, for those of you who don't know what a narcissist is a narcissist is from a mythology of a Roman individual who was mesmerized by himself. His name was Narcissus. And he kept looking in this pool, and he refused to take his eyes off the pool because he loved himself. And he looked at himself, and he said, oh, I'm so beautiful. And he continued to look at himself. And we've come up with that term today as a narcissist. A narcissist is someone who loves themselves. And so when this guy came to me and he said, everybody tells me I'm a narcissist, you know what I said to him? So are we all. So are we all. We all love ourselves. And if it's inconvenient, we're not going to do it because I don't want to die to myself. I don't want to take food to the neighbor. I don't want to mow the neighbor's lawn. I don't want to. And it becomes a self-serving, self-proclaiming place. And Jesus very clearly says, hey, if you really want to follow me, there's something you have to take up. You have to take up your cross. You have to deny yourself. You have to die to yourself. I don't like to die to myself. I don't want to die to myself. Oh, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to do that. I'm comfortable I don't like change. I don't want to do it. Yeah, now that's when you're going to have to pick up your cross and die. Take it up. Arise and take it up. Another place in Scripture that we're told to take up something He says, take up my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, you all know what a yoke is. I'm pretty sure you know what a yoke is. A couple of months ago, I talked about a yoke. It's where they would yoke two oxen to this yoke. Hooked them together, and they would plow the field. And the truth of it is, we're all yoked to something. We could be yoked to social media. I don't know whether you guys are texting back and forth on your phones there, or studying the scriptures, or playing solitaire. We are yoked to something. We can be yoked to drugs. We can be yoked to pornography. We can be yoked to TV. We can be yoked to criticism. Did you ever find those people who are yoked to criticism? Everything is wrong. But Jesus says, if you want to arise, here's something you need to take up. You need to take my yoke upon you. If we truly pick up his yoke from Ezekiel, the yoke that holds us, the yoke that binds us, the yoke that we shouldn't have, he declares then, and then you will know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bars of their yoke and had delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. Jesus says, take up my yoke. You know, when you're yoked to Jesus, he does the guiding. He sets the pace. But every now and then, we like to slip our head out of it and scoot over here and say, I want to be yoked to this. Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, he says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. How quickly we can become unyoked and re-yoke ourselves to the something of the world, something of the flesh, something that says, oh, this is mine. I feel good. And so we yoke ourselves there. And Jesus says, you're not going to learn of me unless you're yoked to me. So arise and take up my yoke. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find something. Now, how many, this is a quiz, pop quiz. Okay, take out a piece of paper. Don't look at your neighbor's paper. How many laws are there in the Old Testament? Don't give me 10. There's a lot more than 10. A bunch. Well, for your edification, write this in your notebooks. There are 613. Did you get it?
I got 616.
Ah. Those were the ones that you added for yourself. Okay, yeah. That was Donovan for those of you who are out there in TV land. And we were just having this bantering back and forth. I'll correct him at the next elders meeting. So, one, and you say to yourself, why is this law there? You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Isn't that, why would we have that law? Well, if you think about it, you think about these are two different animals. And a donkey could just decide to be stubborn because that's what they're known for. And when it's time to plow, the donkey says, I'm not going anywhere. And the oxen says, yeah, we're supposed to plow. It's time to plow. Nope, not going anywhere. And so it doesn't seem really sensible to not hook another oxen to the bow and plow that way. But the spiritual understanding here, and I think you're going to get the point now, is sometimes we yoke ourselves to things that we shouldn't be yoked to. I mean, I've said this from the pulpit dozens of times. For me to be yoked to social media, it would just, my wife's laughing. She knows it would kill me. And you would find out the innermost dark places that I hide from you. Because I can't believe people say some of the things they say on social media, and I can't believe they do some of the things, and if I was on there, I would probably not be able to bite my tongue. So it's best that I don't yoke myself to it. But we can yoke ourselves to lots of things. And the scriptures say, don't. You know who you need to be yoked to? You need to be yoked to Jesus Christ. And if you are yoked to him, he will set the pace, he will guide you, and he will teach you about him. But the second you break that and step aside, you know, we can even be yoked to religion. You probably know people who are yoked to religion. Judas being one of them. No, if he was here, he would. He's downstairs, but we've had these conversations. He is so opposed to this old idea of religion. But there are people who are yoked to it, who are drawn to it, who live for it, and yet they're not yoked to the living God. Well, one more yoke. Ha, 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 ha. that we're told to be yoked to. Maybe. Is God's armor. The scripture says, therefore, take it up. Arise and take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Ephesians reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. It's against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And God has said, I have provided something for you while you walk here and are under attack. I want you to arise and take it up. Take up the armor. Take up that shield, that helmet of salvation. Take up the guard your loins with truth. Let the gospel be on your feet. Get that shield up. That shield of faith, which helps stand off the fiery darts of the devil. And take the word. Take the sword. We have been equipped. It's there. And do you know what happens? God says, arise, and I want you to take it up. Up. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Don't walk down here as unwise men, but walk as wise. Why? Making the most of your time. Because these days are evil. And if you are not equipped, if you haven't picked up the armor, you're going to stand exposed to the enemy. So many times I talk to people who, well, I just don't know. I said, well, get the shield up then. Get the word up. And if you don't know the word, then involve yourself with it. Eat it. Drink it. And one of the scriptures I'm going to talk about in a few minutes here is abide in it. To abide means to I take it up. From Corinthians, he reminds us, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. See, there's this charge for us is not to be apathetic, but to take up. And so when Jesus says to the man, arise and take up, if he hadn't taken it up, he'd still be laying there. And he thought, how am I supposed to do that? But this man, he doesn't even know who he was. This man is telling me to take it up. I'm going to take it up. Now, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, Donovan shared from the 2 Kings, the event of Elijah and Elisha, and how Elisha had stayed with Elijah, and how important it was to be yoked to him in this particular case. But when Elijah was taken up, his mantle fell. And he had said, if my mantle falls and you pick it up, if you take it up, then you'll know that God has ordained you to be the next prophet and to do twice as many miracles as I have done. And so he also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Jesus Christ says, take up my mantle. Let me be formed in you. You need to walk in the things that I've given you. You need to embrace. And you've all heard me use this word, Christoformity. You have to allow me to be formed in you. Take up my mantle. Again, it's a charge to us. And now we come to Caleb. And you remember the account where Moses had sent 12 tribes, or a team of 12, into the promised land, and they came back. And 10 of them said, it's too big for us. We can't take it. They have big cities. They have strong armies. We're done. But there were two, as you recall, who said, yeah, God said we could take it. Let's take possession of it. And this is Caleb. When Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. See, we've been given so much as a result of the cross. But do we let it lay fallow? Do we take it up? Let us take possession. Or would we be as the crippled man? Oh, no, I can't do that. I don't have anybody to help me with it. Arise! Take it up! It's yours. Let's take possession of the land. Now, I'm going to ask you whether you believe this next scripture. Not that one. From Romans. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Are you a conqueror? See, all these things that he mentions just before this, in verse 31, he says that God is for us. He says, who will bring a charge against you if God is for you? He said, God justifies. Who is it that condemns? Who can separate you from the love of Christ, the love of God? Who can separate you in all these things? We are conquerors. Take it up. Don't let it lay fallow. Arise. And so now we come to that part where it's personal. And not all of the things that I'm going to mention here in the next few minutes are a take it up. But if you think about it, they are. Courage. Have I not commanded you? B, take it up, strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe that? Take up what? Courage. Take it up. And if you're someone who's sitting out here who says, oh man, I'm so scared, take up courage. Be strong and courageous. You know why? Because I'm going to go with you. You take up courage and I'll go with you. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, if you take it up, then you are truly disciples of mine. See, we have his word. And does it lay fallow? Does it lay unstudied? What did he say? Take it up. Take up my word. If you are my disciples, you will know my word. And it'll make you free. If something has yoked to you that you don't want it, it'll free you. It says love. Take up love. Take up compassion. I mean, I can be pretty hard on people sometimes. I forget that love and compassion is important. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on. You know, those the same words that Donovan used last week, lay hold, put on, take up. Those are all scriptural words. Grab a hold of it. Get up and take a hold of it. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Oh, that's dying to myself. That's the point. That's taking up your cross, and that's putting on his yoke to learn of me. Because who is he? He's humble. He's lowly. He's filled with compassion and love and gentleness. And he certainly bears with us. He bears with us. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Comfort. Take up comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Comfort. If we would just take up comfort with one another, wouldn't it be? Just comfort one another. And sometimes that comfort says, arise. You know? That's what Ananias said to Paul. Arise, be baptized. Here's what you got to do. Comfort doesn't mean always being sympathetic, but sometimes comfort says, arise and take up. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out of her that her welfare has ended. I don't want to do that one. That's from Isaiah 40. We are to take up praise and joy. Oh, taking up to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. I mean, you can make that kind of decision. Arise and take up. Man, I'm sick and tired of this stuff. Well, you didn't take up praise. You didn't take up joy. I'd sooner take up criticism because it makes me feel good. I'd sooner be yoked to that. I don't be yoked to praise and joy. Did you ever run across somebody who's just joyful all the time? Don't you hate it? are you so joyful? Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh, man. I wish I should take that up. I should take that up. You know why? Because I bet their blood pressure is lower than mine. So Scripture tells us so many places to arise and take up. It's a scriptural principle. Take up the blood. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by taking up the blood of Jesus, so many times we forget to take up the blood. The blood that has washed us, the blood that has cleansed us, the blood that has given us access to Him. Oh, I can't go to God. I can't go to God. He knows everything about me. Yeah, He does. But He said, I wash you, and the only thing you need to do is arise and come. The prodigal son, another, remember? I will arise and go to my Father, and there's nothing that separates me from Him because He's cleansed me. His blood has cleansed me. He's given me His Spirit, this new wine, that I might walk in victory down here, that I might be courageous, that I might be a comfort to others, that I might be an encouragement. For all who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Do you remember to take up the Spirit? It's in you. He's filled you with it. That's that new wine. Do you walk by the flesh? Are you yoked to the flesh or are you yoked to the Spirit? These are personal questions. I can't answer them for you. But I have a God who is very personal. And He speaks directly to you. And He may say, arise. And here's what I want you to take up. Take it up. Arise. Take up His cross. Take up His yoke. Take up His armor. Take up His mantle. That He may continue to form in you Himself. Learn of me. I will give you rest. Just make sure you're not yoked to the wrong thing. And just make sure that you want to be my disciple and you have counted the cost. And the cost is that you'll have to die to yourself. And you no longer can gaze at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, how beautiful, how beautiful. You need to say, I need to follow the law of inconvenience. And I need to die to myself. And then, and I can't forget that He's equipped me. He's laid the equipment there. And are we ready to take it up? Are we ready to take up that which He's called us to do? I can't answer anything personal for you. But I can tell you that He can. And if you decide to listen, you know, don't be like Jonah. Arise and go to Nineveh. Uh-uh, not me. And let those people wallow in their sins. I want you to arise and go. And so next week we get to talk about the third commandment, and that is to walk. Arise, take up, and walk. Amen.